The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Thick and Thin with me, Katie Bilotti. Today is Wednesday. As I record this, I am late to the game yet again. Ugh, it's just been one of those weeks. I feel like I say that every freaking week, but this week has really just crushed me because I'm also dealing with some allergies. I just like have not been taking it easy at all on the weekends, and I'm gearing up for another fun weekend. And then the following weekend, I'm in LA, so I'll probably be recording next week's episode maybe in LA, I think, or I'll be in LA when it comes out because I'm going for a very quick little trip back over there. You guys know I lived there for like 9 months, not even a year, but I lived there for a bit. I'm going back for the first time since leaving LA to go see my two friends out there. Well, a bunch of friends, but my two like very close friends from college are still out there. So I'm seeing them, a bunch of other people. Adam and I are going just for like 4 days, just to see the girls for their birthdays, because I have been very lucky over the years because I have two really great friends that share the same birthday week as me, because my birthday is coming up as well on the 27th. So we're all, well, two of us are Scorpios, the other is a Libra. But usually we do parties together or like a celebration together, like a big one. But because we're on two different coasts, I'm just going for their birthday and then I'm going to come back and do my own thing for my very first adult time. Like, I've never done my own birthday party as an adult. I've always shared it with someone, which is crazy to think about. But I guess, like, I don't know, I'm not huge on like, let me celebrate myself. So the reason, like the way that it works is I'm actually throwing a Halloween costume party for my closest friends. It's going to be like, you know, not like a ton of people. Okay, it's going to be a ton of people. It's going to be like, you know, pretty decent party. I invited a lot of people on Facebook. Do people still do that? I made like a Facebook group. It's funny that we still like, I feel like I have no one on Facebook anymore though. So I had to like send my invitation, which obviously I made an invitation in Photoshop, made it really cute, sent it out to a bunch of people, and costumes are mandatory. So I hope everyone follows the rules because I'm taking it very seriously. I'm not going to tell you guys who I will be just yet, but it's going to be legendary and it's going to be an amazing TikTok. And I'm so excited. That's all I'm going to say. So my costume is pending, but yeah, I just received word that there is another Halloween party the day after mine. So, which I think will actually be open to the public. So if you guys are in New York, I'll post it on my story at some point on Instagram so you guys can come, we can hang out. But I think this means I need another costume. So now I'm getting a little nervous because I need to have two epic costumes now. But I'm wondering, I feel as though there's something in my closet that I can just like repurpose from previous years because I've had some pretty good costumes over the years. Some of them have been like, I don't know, pretty lazy, to be honest. In college, I kind of like dropped the ball a little bit only because it was like Halloween weekend in college, meaning we had, and I think we started on Thursday. So we had like Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, sometimes even Sunday, like day parties for Halloween. So I had to have like four costumes. So towards the end of that, I was just out of steam. But I remember one year I was a ballerina, ruined that outfit like the second I stepped outside. I was so many like ridiculous things in college. Like one year I wore a seashell bra and was a mermaid. And then I did the exact same thing. I did that freshman year. And then when I had like literal abs from just being like not drinking alcohol. And then senior year, I did it again. And I just like looked at the photos side by side and I'm like, wow, you know, the wonders of discovering alcohol and how it affects your body. Anyway, I'm slowly but surely getting those abs back, working hard at the gym. You guys know if you guys follow me on Instagram. But anyway, I'm not really sure where I was going with this. Oh yeah, LA next week, seeing my friends for the first time. Excited, well, not for the first time, but back in LA for the first time because my friends have come to visit me like once, I believe. Yeah, once each. I think once, maybe twice. They've come back here because their family's on this coast. So they're bound to be back. At some point, they, you know, have stopped and seen us on the way, but this is my first time going back to LA, like back where I was super unhappy for a bit, like not because of my friends, obviously. Obviously, we've gone over this. We know this. It's like there's no bad blood with anybody out there. The reason why I didn't like LA was just, I think, timing, and it just didn't sit well with me. It didn't agree with me. Sounds like a bad roll of sushi or something, but we didn't vibe. Me and LA, LA and I, we were not a good pairing. I can't really put my finger on it. You know, New York was just way more me, and every second I spent in LA longer than a vacation, I was like, okay, it's becoming glaringly just like so obvious that New York is my place. So, you know, I'm here to stay. All right. So back to what I was saying about the Halloween birthday parties. So I'm very excited for this year's party. This is actually the first time I'm sharing the theme of the party because you guys know I've done joint parties in the past where I've done like old Hollywood and a bunch of like fun themes. This year, the theme is Halloween. So you can be whatever you want to be. And costumes mandatory. Like I said, I kind of want this to be like the first annual. So like many parties to come, and every year I want to do a Halloween party because I feel if you're throwing a party just for yourself, it can get to be like, I mean, I don't feel this way when other people do it, but I'm just like self-conscious, I guess, or like I feel it'd be like, look at me, I'm throwing my own birthday party. It's all about my birth. So this is me being like, it is my birthday party, kind of like I want to do something fun for my birthday. And I feel like Halloween is always like there's all this buildup. And it's never actually that fun because in New York, at least, you have to like buy tickets for things and it's very stressful finding places to go that aren't overwhelmed because I think a lot of people come to the city for Halloween, like from neighboring places. So this was my solution, like my solve. So I can have a fun birthday. Well, my birthday's on a Wednesday, but like the weekend will be fun and I'll have a place to wear my awesome costume. And I'm going to be in charge of it. So I know it'll be fun because I love planning things. And I would say, I have to say I'm a pretty good planner. So I'm really going hard for Halloween this year. I'm very excited. I'm also getting a film photographer. So they're going to shoot the party. So there's going to be a ton of memes to come from the soiree. You guys will definitely see. Hopefully I will not have a cold by then because I have a cold right now. I'm hoping to stay healthy when I go to LA. I'm going to be taking like emergency to the max because I will be in impeccable shape on my birthday and during Halloween. So that is all I will say about the birthday party to come. I'm turning 26. I don't know if I've told you guys that, but that also comes with its own set of stressors as a business owner because now I have to register for my own health insurance, like pay my own health insurance. My parents, I have to get kicked off their insurance. That's like very, very special birthday for me. A lot of things are going to change, aka I'm just going to have to pay like higher copays everywhere, which is so stressful here in the US. You know, obviously things might be different other places. I know they are for a fact, but here I'm just, you know, it's lovely. But, you know, that's the one thing. My parents ask me what I want for my birthday, and I never know every year like what to say that I want for my birthday because I'm very blessed to have all the things that I need right now. Like things I, you know, there's always things I want, but all the things I need, I have. Okay. I don't need anything else. I actually, you know, I think my apartment's going to explode if I bring anything else in here. So I told my parents, I'm like, all I want for my birthday is for you to find me an insurance plan to sign up for because there's so many. Like it's insane how many options there are. So I asked my parents very nicely to just figure out which one I should do, like based on, because they're very smart. My mom works in like the health industry, so she knows a lot. My dad just like is good at talking to people and figuring things out. And I just got very stressed the moment when I tried sitting down to do this, I got very stressed. So that is what they are giving me for my birthday. I just need a name. I need a phone number and I will do it. Like I just need that set up for me or not set up. I just need them to like literally hand me the name and I will do it. So that's my birthday present this year, hopefully. But aside from that, 26 is going to be an exciting year. I can already tell. I feel like it's going to bring forth a lot of great growth for me. I can really, really feel it. I think 26 is going to be a good year. And I'm just 1 year away from my golden year, which golden year meaning I'm turning that age on the day of my birthday. So 27 on the 27th will be next year. And I really hope that I just like have my shit together by then. But who knows? Who knows, guys? Anyway, that was like my 10-minute life update in the beginning of the episode.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
But I do have some stories to share with you guys today because we are officially in spooky season and Halloween is my favorite holiday. So I was sitting around thinking like, okay, what should I talk about? What should I look into? What should I dig my claws into and figure out some juicy information about. And I landed on Halloween. Like, I don't believe I've ever done an episode on the origin of Halloween. Where did Halloween come from? Why is it called Halloween? Like, what's the significance of the colors like orange and black and just all those things? Why do we dress up? Why do we trick or treat? Why candy? Like, all those things. And actually, I don't know why I said, why do we trick or treat? I just meant vaguely, like generally, because I have not trick or treated since the age of like 16. I believe when you turn 16 in my town, they actually make it like illegal. Like, you're not allowed to trick or treat when you turn 16 in my town. I believe. I think that's the law, because they don't want, like, I don't know. They're like, no, none for you. None for you teenagers, just for the kids. Okay. So everyone, hope you're in a spooky mood, because we are going to dive on in to the history of Halloween, or as much as I researched, because I definitely didn't go into everything, because I actually have a whole episode on superstitions, which covers a lot of the symbols of Halloween. I also have a whole episode on witches too. Like, definitely dig back in the archives of Thick and Thin, because I have a lot of this covered already. So I just, you know, dug into the other things and I'm like, why the heck is that the way it is? You know, I'm endlessly curious. Someone did ask me on Instagram today if I was a good student in school. And I feel like a lot of you guys would think that I was like definitely a straight A student, because I do a lot of research and I'm, you know, I do my homework, so to speak. But in college, I very much so focused on the social elements for sure, which have definitely helped me in this life, because I've, you know, I have so many contacts and things that I've done because of people that I met at parties, which is great. You definitely have to have a good balance. But I would say I definitely put a little bit too much into that towards the end. I didn't graduate with honors or anything, and I was actually a really horrible test taker, but you know, I still graduated. And at this point, no one is asking me for my GPA. Like, my job, I don't even need a degree for what I do right now. So, you know, I'll say that I did fine. I did okay. But I definitely wasn't an amazing student. I loved learning. I loved lectures, oddly. And I loved taking notes. But the tests were just really, it was just where I crashed and burned. Anyway, all that aside, let's get into the history of Halloween. So Halloween, also known as All Hallows' Eve, can be traced back about 2,000 years to a pre-Christian Celtic festival held around November 1st called Samhain, which loosely translates to summer's end in Gaelic. And I will say, you know, after scouring the internet, historians have disagreed on whether this time period, you know, 2,000 years ago was the official origin. Some, you know, people say 5th century BC, which I believe was about 2,500 years ago, or the Middle Ages. But what they do all agree on is Halloween has religious roots, religious-ish. Also a super concrete, direct connection between Halloween and Samhain, that holiday that I discussed, has never been proven since no one was around and is still alive, obviously. But many scholars believe that because All Saints Day, which is also called All Hallows Mass, on November 1st, and Samhain are close together on the calendar, that they, you know, likely influenced each other and were later just combined into the celebration that we now call Halloween. So that's not extremely important, but basically, okay, assuming that Samhain has something to do with Halloween, it was an annual communal meeting at the end of the harvest year, a time to gather resources for the winter months and bring animals back from the pastures. Samhain was also thought to have been a time of communing with the dead. According to folklorist John Santino, there was a belief that it was a day when spirits of the dead would cross over into the other world. In these times, 2,000 years ago, it was believed that during Samhain, the veil between our world and the spirit world was at its thinnest, so the ghosts of the dead could just come on over and mingle with the living. And if you've ever seen Halloween Town, like the very first one, or I guess any of them, this might sound super familiar. I bet that they were inspired by this old superstitious tale. Anyway, the real juicy superstition was this. The visiting ghosts could disguise themselves in human form, such as a beggar, and knock on your door during Samhain, asking for money or food. And if you turned them away, this is legend has it, if you turned away the ghost who was disguised as a beggar, if you turned them away empty-handed, you risked receiving the wrath of the spirit and being cursed or haunted. So that kind of lends to the concept of dressing up and going door to door asking for candy or things. And another Celtic myth was that dressing up as a ghoul would fool the evil spirits that were coming over into our world into thinking that you were one of them so that they would never try to take your soul. And I also recently figured out that ghouls and ghosts are not the same thing. I thought ghouls, like G-H-O-U-L-S, ghouls and ghosts. I thought for sure, I thought a ghoul was just a girl ghost, but I was really wrong. My mind has been blown since looking into this. So a ghoul is a legendary evil spirit that robs graves and feeds on dead bodies, whereas a ghost is a spirit or soul of a dead person that becomes visible to the living. So basically, a ghost is a lot less, or personally speaking, I'm a lot less scared of a potential ghost over a ghoul, because a ghoul, like, literally, you know, is after dead bodies and robs graves, and a ghost is just kind of like chilling this like dead person that is visible. Okay. So now that we've gotten that distinction out of the way, back to the story of Halloween. So a lot of people used these superstitions thousands of years ago to their advantage. You know, the superstition that the ghoul will not know that you are a human if you dress up, or, you know, they come door to door and ask you for things and you have to give them things. Like, the actual ghouls will come to your door dressed up. So you have to, like, as a villager, if a ghoul comes to your door, you have to give them whatever they want. So villagers, naughty little villagers, would use this to their advantage, these superstitious people, and would essentially wear these costumes and go door to door and, you know, ask for things, steal things, and just, you know, say, oh, I'm a spirit, boo, whatever. So that was something that obviously happened because people are the worst. But just vaguely, okay, overall, dressing up on Halloween, when did it start in the US? So in the United States, trick-or-treating became a customary Halloween tradition only after it was brought here by Irish immigrants in the mid-1800s. Because as you might remember from high school history class, many moons ago, the Irish potato famine of 1846 forced a lot of Irish families to flee to North America, and all of these Celtic traditions came along with them. And this included dressing up in costumes, asking neighbors for food and money, which I'm assuming was also necessary because of the famine, and, you know, pulling pranks like Mischief Night. They also apparently brought that here. I don't know if you guys know what Mischief Night is, but I certainly remember Mischief Night from growing up. My lacrosse team loved participating. It was very much like a sports team thing in my hometown. Like, sports teams would get together, like the football team or whoever, and would like prank other sports team members' homes, but like family homes. So it was kind of messed up now that I think about it. It was like, we would go to like the soccer guys, the soccer team captain, like one of their houses, and like club teams, mind you, a lot of them. I was on club. We would go and like TP their house, you know, TP their, the tree in their front yard or whatever. And like, that was our mischief night. It was the night before Halloween in my town. I believe that's like pretty standard. I don't know, in the US at least. But yeah, that apparently came from the Irish. I don't know. That's what I'm reading on the internet. But back to costumes. Halloween costumes from the first half of the 20th century were terrifying for literally all the reasons that I just described, because of the superstitions, because of the, you know, the basis in the supernatural, things like that. They wanted to scare off the evil spirits. But then enter the glamorous 1920s America, the Gatsby era. And by the 20s and 30s, people were holding these annual Halloween masquerade soirees in their homes and rented out saloons, all that. I read that these were prevalent in the 20s and 30s. I'm assuming more so like the 20s, before the world started, or the world, the US started to crumble financially, and then we entered the war and all that. But anyway, according to my sources, during this time, masquerade Halloween soirees were to be had, and it involved both kids and adults. And so adults were getting in on the fun as well. It was, you know, something that wasn't just for kids at this time. And, you know, enter the 60s in America, so some years later, this marked a massive shift in the way that we dress up for Halloween. Grown-ups in particular started ditching masks and full-on coverage, opting to show their faces. This is according to the director of NYU's costume studies program, a woman named Nancy Deal. Costumes became a way to play a lighter, special version of oneself, she said.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us, the one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
And at this one point in this article that I found, I got this article that was amazing on costumes and the origin from CNN, which I'll have linked. They say Halloween costumes have gone from disguises to full-on exhibitionist, which is very accurate because costumes, they aren't for sneaking around unseen anymore. They're very much so for showing off, either showing off your beauty, your body, your creativity, your wit, your humor. Halloween, repeat after me, everyone. Halloween is for showing off. It literally is for showing off. So anyway, okay, moving on. We've got this tricking part of trick-or-treating down, like the origin of that. But what about the treat? Why do kids seek candy on Halloween? Well, there obviously is a reason for that. When the custom of trick-or-treating kind of started in the 30s, like the actual trick-or-treating like ritual, apparently like concretely started in America in the 30s and early 40s, children held open their pillowcases and their sacks and went door to door and were handed homemade cookies, cake, like little pieces of cake, fruit, nuts, coins, and little trinkets. So no candy, just like a bunch of other things that were available at the time to the housewives of America, because this was the time of World War II in America. So things were definitely scarce. I don't know if this is the reason, but I'm kind of, you know, assuming here the reason why trick-or-treating became so popular during this time was because of the war, almost, to kind of maybe lighten things up, especially as the holidays were approaching and a lot of people's parents were, you know, busy at war or working in factories and doing things. So, you know, it made it a little bit lighter for the kids. Maybe. That's me just assuming that maybe that's what happened here. But anyway, okay, so in the 50s, candy manufacturers, finally, they got to it. They began promoting their products for Halloween. It was, you know, obviously giving out candy for Halloween was easy, relatively affordable, you know, versus baking an entire cake or a million cookies. And it just made more sense. So eventually parents even kind of got wary of people poisoning their kids potentially with like cakes and cookies. So anything that wasn't packaged up and sealed became seen as unsanitary, sketchy. Like, why on earth would you give out things that could be potentially contaminated on Halloween? Like, it became a no-no. And I actually remember my mom telling me growing up, like, don't accept things at, you know, at people's doors that look like they've been opened or something that isn't packaged. Like, I was definitely wary of that myself as a kid. So then at this time, candy became king. And it was in the early to mid 1900s when all of the main chocolate and sweet suppliers came out with their most iconic candies, I found from some digging. So I'm not going to, you know, go into each of these, but one story that I found particularly interesting was about the invention of M&Ms. So a little Spark Notes version of how M&Ms, the delicious candy that now I'm craving so badly, came to be. So a man named Forrest Mars was actually at the helm of the invention. He was the son of Frank Mars, who was a Minnesota-born candy maker. And Frank had actually invented the Milky Way bar, Snickers bar, things like that. So his son, Forrest, they actually had this massive falling out. I have no idea what it was over, but Forrest, the son, ended up relocating to England when he and his father had this blowout fight. And this was when Forrest, the son, created the Mars bar in the 30s. And then in 1941, he launched M&Ms. But the reason for the name M&Ms is actually, it's pretty interesting, or I found it interesting. So Forrest had actually correctly, he had anticipated that World War II was going to happen. It was going to produce this massive cocoa shortage and alter the way that he's making his candy. So he partnered with this other guy named Bruce Murray, who was the son of a Hershey executive, in order to have access to a, you know, more substantial, significant supply of ingredients to make candy. So they combined their last names, Mars and Murray, to make M&Ms, which just blew my mind when I read this, like blew my mind. I mean, it's so simple, but like, wow. And I'm sure their dads had a total field day with this one. Very interesting. So, okay, moving on to the next Halloween fun fact, tidbit from history. Have you ever wondered why black and orange are Halloween colors? Like, when I think Halloween, I think black and orange, like a, you know, a jack-o'-lantern or something, which we're actually going to get into the story of jack-o'-lanterns in a second as well. But I think of it like, you know, black and orange, it's like red and green are to Christmas. But why? So they actually stem from the pagan celebration of autumn and the harvest, with orange symbolizing the colors of fall crops and, you know, fall weather and foliage, things like that, while black marks the death of summer. So orange and black. Okay, another last Halloween symbol that makes no sense to me, or did not until I looked into why it's a thing. Pumpkins, jack-o'-lanterns, like, why do we carve pumpkins with faces in them? Or Rolex symbols, if you are my friend Adam Harrison, you guys probably know. So once again, this has deep roots in folklore. An old Celtic tale tells the story of a drunken farmer named Jack who tricked the devil, but his devious acts resulted in him being turned away from both the gates of heaven and hell after he died. So Jack had no choice but to wander around the darkness of purgatory, aka the middle ground, you know, between heaven and hell. So he was just lonely and it was dark. So he made a lantern from a turnip and a burning lump of coal that the devil had tossed him from hell. And he used this lantern to guide his lost soul, the legend says. And as such, the Celts believed that placing jack-o'-lanterns outside their homes would help guide lost spirits that were just wandering the streets on Halloween. So it became this kind of like traditional thing. And they used to use hollowed out turnips with a small candle inside. And they would carve these kind of scary faces into them to also scare away the evil spirits. Like, I guess to welcome home the good ones and like scare away the evil ones. I don't know how that works. But since turnips were hard to find in the United States, when a bunch of people came over here with this tradition, they came to the US and they couldn't find any turnips. So they turned to pumpkins instead. So that is what gave birth to the modern day jack-o'-lantern, which I'm actually kind of sad I don't have one in my apartment, but it would just like, I have no outdoor space, so it would go bad. It would just like start to smell and rot. Maybe I'll get, well, I have a little plastic one that looks cute. It's like a white, aesthetically pleasing pumpkin, but I think maybe one of these days I should get like a little orange guy in here. Maybe my next apartment, I'll have an outdoor space and I can like put some little jack-o'-lanterns out there. But I remember, you know, carving them growing up and makes my heart warm thinking about it. But yeah, guys, that is a little taste, a little Halloween episode for you all. I'm very excited to share with you all my Halloween costume. I'm going to wait a little bit, like till maybe right before Halloween to tell you guys, because I think it's also a good idea. Maybe like could be a last minute Halloween costume for any of you guys. But in the meantime, I need to come up with a second costume idea. So if you are listening and you have an amazing idea for me, you know what to do. You got to send me a DM, okay? Because I'm like at a loss. I don't know what to do. I think my most legendary costume ever in the past was the Sun-Made Raisin Girl. If you guys have ever heard of her, like the girl on the Sun-Made Raisin box, like the red box, the girl with like the red, well, she had a red bonnet as well. My grandma, she sewed me my costume and it was actually really convincing. And I feel like there's no photo evidence of it. And I'm really upset about that. I'm gonna have to ask my mom because that costume was like one of my best, but yeah, so if anyone needs a costume, Sun-Made Raisin Girl, really huge crowd pleaser. All right, guys, that is it for my Halloween themed episode. Stay tuned until next Thursday for another episode of Thick and Thin. Also, check out my other podcast, Match Made in Manhattan, with my friend Adam and Colby. That comes out every Tuesday. Just type in Match Made in Manhattan on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And I will talk to you guys all very soon. Bye.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.